Katrina and Rita, and is on standby. Desert Storm and some other things that have happened. Steve is on standby to deploy, and I got a phone call from Jake this afternoon that he was deployed. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks, and I guess he'll find out in the morning when he leaves. So you know what? God's got people lifting him up wherever they are, and so we're just going to cover all those workers that are just exhausted right now from helping so much, that the Lord will send them strength as well. I did send out in the prayer request today, if people say, what can we do? Let me just tell you that we need very gently used towels or new towels. We need brand new pillows. We can't have used pillows because of the health code. And diapers of any size. And if we have to set up a shelter, we give those things to the people when they leave. And so we're not going to open our clothing to the public for the month of September. We're going to save those in case we run a shelter. And even if we don't, because our clothes are cleaned and well organized, we'll send those down by a truck once a distribution center is set up. So either way, all those things are going to be used. So I want to thank you. And Christian Center already sent out, truck went out yesterday, I think, with water and some other food supplies that we've already sent out. So listen, we're being represented and we want to serve and help. So I'm just letting you know, if we have to run a shelter, for those of you who've done that before, it's a big, hard job. But we're up for it. I know. I got your name on there.
I think I'm going to have my husband working tomorrow. I'm packing, putting them things in boxes. Bringing, there's clothes, there's hair bands. They're all not new. They're all clean. Everything's clean. Shoes. And if anybody here at church needs a breathing treatment machine, I got like a brand new one. Then I have one for a child. It's a little
baby. Okay.
And I got all right. New cords to it. But I'm going to bring that to your office because there's a lot of people go back there and get that good stuff and go sells it and goes to the wrong place.
Well, I'm not worried about a thing. We'll take care of that. We'll take care of it, Miss June. All right. Tonight, we're going to finish up on James chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 13. You know, every year we have a cake class, and every year I learn something new in that cake class. And this year I was making this cake, and I put the icing on the top first because that's how I've always iced. I put the icing on and roll it down and do the sides. And I don't know if I've ever listened to it or if it's the first time I've heard it, but the weight from that icing made the edges of my cake this year fall apart.
Oh, no.
And Renee said, right as, you know, I've already done all this, she said, now you always want to start with the sides of your cake, frosting them first. And I was like, why have I never heard that before? And, man, I thought, what a difference that would have made because it would have supported the top, right? But I'm sharing that with you because I want you to understand, just because we've heard something once or twice, just because I've been in like four or five of those classes, doesn't mean that I still can't learn. Doesn't mean that I'm not learning from my mistakes as well as from what I get right. So I really appreciate James because tonight we're going to talk about the things that he's doing to show us things that are going to save us some grief and save us regrets. Is there anybody in here who can truthfully say in your life you have no regrets and you've never had grief over anything you've done? Anybody? Because we're going to pray for you for that lion spirit. I'm just saying. Because we all do, right? So James is coming in because he's done those things. And I want to share that because, guys, we're on a level playing field here. There's nobody in this room that's better than anybody, and there's nobody that's worse than anybody. When you are the bride of Christ, man, that's an awesome place to be in. And he's provided the best for us. And James woke up one day and saw this. I want you to know, no matter what's going on in your life, we need God in the middle of it. Especially when we get on cruise control or automatic pilot, or, you know, I got this. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to do all that stuff. I got this. It is like that cake class. There's always things that you're going to learn. Thank you, love. There's always things that you're going to learn. There's always things that you can do better at. Would you agree with that? So here's James coming in and telling us the same thing. So I'm going to start at verse 13. Is any of you in trouble? Well, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Well, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that's offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. So I want to just stop and make you realize that in verse 16, where he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, confessing is not redemption and forgiveness. He's not saying tell somebody so you're forgiven. He's saying confess those things to each other. Then you pray and go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and he'll cover it. Just because I talk with somebody and I say, ooh, you know, Leslie, man, this week I really did this and I really did that and I felt so bad about it, I still need to put him in the middle of it and say, God, I just want you to cleanse me. I want this stuff off of me. Because it's not enough just to share it. Are you following me? Because some of us, we share and we get a little burden lifted there, but we need to go in and get it cleaned out so that there's a free flow. But in every situation, it's like he's coming in happy, sad, sick, healed. Whatever it is, we need to keep God in the middle of all of it. So I want to show you, I use the second half of verse 16 as our text tonight. It says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The words powerful and effective are the same Greek words. They mean the same thing. It's energeo. Like, you can tell what that is, energy, right? And I was like, well, why would it be twice? Why would it be like, you're powerful, you're effective? Was he just saying it twice to hammer it home that, you know, we're missing something? So let's just take a minute and break that down. What does it mean when he says the prayer of a righteous man? How do I know if I'm righteous?
Confess all your sins and ask God to cleanse your heart, then you'll be righteous again.
Righteous. We're going to look up some scriptures in just a minute. But I want you to know if you're righteous or not. Because it's the prayer of the righteous man that's going to be powerful and effective. So first of all, we're going to look at Genesis 15:6. And this is talking about Abraham. And in Genesis 15:6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So what would you say righteousness is? Believing in God. Believing in what he says to you. That's Genesis 15:6. Okay, now let's look at Romans. We're going to look at Romans 4:3. Romans 4:3. It says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what is it that makes us righteous? What? What? One more time.
Belief in God.
Now, let's just all say that together. Belief in God. Yes, when we believe him, that's what makes us righteous. Then if you look down in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief. He's still talking about Abraham. He's old. He's over 100. His woman's over 100. Hi, Isaiah. I love you. Is that just the cutest guy you've ever seen? I'm sorry, you're handsome. And now I've embarrassed him. I mean it. I love him. He knows it. All right, get on with it, Gabe. So he's talking about Abraham because his woman's old. She dried up, you know. He's old. And yet He comes in and he still has faith in God. And this is what God is saying about Abraham when he says he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Do you know what he's saying there? The harder it got to believe, the harder it was made for him to believe, the more faith he had. So his adversity didn't make him turn from God. God was saying, this is a guy when the going got tough, he just dug in there and believed me more. And he says he was being fully persuaded that God had, that God had power to do, that's the same word, energio, had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness, because he believed God had the power to do it. It says the words, it says, was credited to him, were written not from him alone, but also for all of us whom God will credit righteous, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now here's the thing. Abraham didn't know about Jesus. I'm just thinking, doesn't that mean that things are like more in our favor? I mean, doesn't that mean like it's going to be more powerful for us? Because now we've got this benefit, this provision that's flowing from heaven that we didn't even know about. So let's think about the two words, power, to have powerful and effective. The first word, when he says powerful, that is an inside energy, okay? It's powerful. There's an energy inside of you that God has put. What's that power? What did Jesus come to leave with us, for us, to live in us, to hear the words of the Father and speak them? Thank you, the Holy Spirit. This is the right class in here. The Holy Spirit. So he's in us. We have this power. But he's not saying powerful, powerful. He's saying powerful and effective. So what happens is, here's his spirit inside of me. The Spirit of God is living in me. He's made it powerful for me. And when I get in agreement and believe I'm righteous, because I'm standing in what he did, not in what I did. There's the other scripture in Romans that says, that's why I'm not boasting about what I do. I'm boasting about what he did. See, the world boasts on what they do. We boast in what Jesus did. Anything that we've ever done here for Rita or Katrina or any of those things, it was for the glory of God. It wasn't for Christian Center. It was to show, look what God can do. You know, people come in here all the time. You know, well, there aren't that many people here. Look at all you do. It's amazing. No, it's God. It's God. Okay? So there's powerful. That is a dormant energy that's inside of you. Right now, my hand has dormant energy. It's powerful. Okay? But I need to get in agreement with that hand to do something to make it move and effective. I need to put my faith in my direction to speak to that power to use it. And to use it for glory. Not just, what did you say to me? But, you know, whew, glory to God, right? Because the power in me is going to make me effective when I use it. There was this minister. Now, this isn't theologically correct, so just don't go there. But there was a minister, and his name was Brother Paul, and he had worked at St. Mary's Church for 47 years, okay? And he died and went to heaven. Well, standing next to him was this guy named Nick. He was a cab driver in New York, okay? And so, you know, Paul's thinking, well, man, I'm going to get the, you know, this guy doesn't have anything on me. So St. Peter comes up, and he says, well, what have you done? Now, see, theologically, that's where most Christians are. What have you done to deserve to be here? But just stay with the story, because that's not what it is. It's what he did. So he goes in and he says, I don't know. What did I do? And he said, well, he said, here's your rewards. And he hands him like these crowns that the guy can hardly carry. So Pastor Paul gets up there and he's like, dude, they're going to bring in angels to haul mine, right? And he gets this little headset thing. He's like, listen, this isn't right. I pastored this church for 47 years and he just drove a cab. Why would he get this? And St. Peter said, because you preached and put people to sleep and he drove and people prayed. So it was how the power was used. Are you with me? Because one of them, you know, our just religious blah, blah could put people to sleep. But man, sometimes adversity going to get you praying. Are you with me? That's the difference. That's what he's saying. There's the power. Then there's the energy with it. I have to use the power that's within me. The power that's within me. I don't pray and all of a sudden my hands start moving like I'm a puppet. I willfully choose to praise the Lord. I willfully choose to say what my head is telling me is not going to happen. My heart says, speak it out. Speak it out. And my prayer is that 18 inches right here is going to get in agreement with this word. That I'm going to believe it with my mind. That I'm going to let it soak into my heart and trust him enough. That I'm going to speak it over the things that I'm concerned about. Because like Abraham, the worse it got, the greater his faith increased, and his faith linked up with the power of God to produce Isaac, Jacob, the whole line of Jesus. Okay? Now, if he just had God before Jesus died, how much more powerful do you think we should be? And that's not that we're going to do greater works than someone else, but that is that he will do greater things through me because he's come. So yes, if you believe God in this room, you're righteous. So the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So we've ignited it. So now I want to talk to you about a little fishing bob. I was a little girl in Mississippi, and our neighbors were the Dosses, okay? Miss Doss was prissy. And I loved her because she was like a southern, you know, woman. Like every room had a candy dish with a separate candy in it. And when you went to visit Miss Doss, you didn't sit in the den. You went in the formal living room. And I remember they had this big garage. And she would, once we got to know her, we would go through the garage to get in her house. And it was wood. There was no drywall. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, no drywall pretty. It was just these wood and these huge beams, and I could always see her Christmas tree up there and stuff like that. So it was silver foil. Yes, I'm that old. Now it's worth a lot more money, so get off my back. But anyway, so I remember that there was this string hanging down, a twine string, and it had one of those little fishing bobbles. You know, the little bob that goes down when you know you got the fish, when he's biting on your bait. Oh, God, that makes me want to go fishing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I could just want to... Anyway, come back. So I remember that being in her garage, and I said to Miss Doss one day, I said, what is that thing? Why does that hit your car? And she said, oh, she said, that is wonderful. She said, my husband put that up there so that when I'm getting ready to drive in the garage, I'll know when to stop my car. And, oh, I just wait, and just when that little thing just taps it, then I know the door won't hit the back and I won't run in front. That is, my husband is so good to me, he did that just to help me out. And I thought, well, that's just wonderful, right? And then a couple of years later, our friend, when we bought our home over on Georgian Drive, there, when we looked at the house, there was a string with the, you know, the little bob on it, but there was this whacked out place in the drywall. And so I'm thinking, I wonder if that got put up before or after. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just weird like that. And the lady's name was Sue, Miss Capron. So I went in and I asked her, I said, hey, I'm just curious, you know. She said, oh, we're going to, you know, they're going to fix this drywall, this, you know, thing in the garage. Well, I didn't really care either way, but, you know, whatever. And she said, and she was there. The owners wanted to be there while we looked at the house and everything. And she said, well, I'll just tell you. She said, my husband put that thing up, and I just wasn't paying any attention. And one day, I just thought, oh, I can go a little further. And she said, I hit it, and I went through because, you know, I just really wasn't paying attention. And she said, and he's just never let me live that down, but we're going to fix it. And I was like, well, okay. Then I had a friend named Lola Allen. Lola, you would love her. Lola's like, she is just wild. She's on fire. Everything, she's just like got this passion for everything in life. So one day, and Lola always has to have a nice car because she's a realtor. She's like, don't say realtor, it's realtor. And she believed you had to drive a nice car to, you know, get a nice price. And so she always had nice cars. So one day I went over to her house and I could hear yelling coming out of the house. And so Steve and I went into the house and there you can just hear. And she's loud, okay? She loud and she proud. So she's yelling and I can hear her husband. He's like, of all the stupid things to do. And she's like, Mark, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't hit the garage door on the back of that Mercedes. He's like, so you crunched the front end and broke through the garage? And so I'm like, oh, let's go, honey. Let's just leave now. So a couple of weeks later, I go over, and there's one of those little strings with the little bob hanging down to show Lola how far to go. Well, I told you she likes cars. So it's not a month or two later, and Lola's traded that car in because she crunched it, and she got a different car, and this was an Infiniti. So she goes in, and she's following the bob, right? But this car is longer than her Mercedes. So she crunches the front end of the Infiniti, and she is just like, Mark Allen, blah, 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 blah. That thing didn't work, but it was because something she was doing changed. Are you with me? So now let's finish reading out of James chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. So now I see three things in this chapter, in this particular ending of James. You know, normally, I don't understand why they didn't have a break in this because the subject is changing. But really what happens here is I see that in verses 13 through 16, he's really speaking personally to us. Hey, if you're sick, if you're happy, if you're whatever, come on. Your prayers are going to be effective as long as you believe in who you're praying to. Okay? Then he comes in and he talks about Elijah. I think that he brings Elijah in because Elijah was sent to the world that was lost without Christ, without God. He was sent to them to show them, you need to believe and come into, because God is more powerful than you, King Ahab, and God is more powerful than all your minions, Jezebel, and God is going to move, and if I pray, it's going to quit raining, and if I pray, it's going to start again. And I want you to realize something. That first scripture says that Elijah was a man just like us. So stop leveling who people are. And again, here's an example of somebody who didn't even have the power of Jesus Christ to bring into their life to access. And you and I have that. That scripture always bothered me because he said, greater things will you do in my name because I've come. And I kept thinking, how could I do anything greater? But it's because I was looking at me. How can you do anything greater? Because I've come. We have that dormant power of God that we can access to override the passions that our flesh has so we can stay in agreement with God. So I see he's talking to me because I'm a believer and I want to follow and do the right things. I see that he's telling me, even for Elijah, I can believe and make faith statements and stand on them, and God will answer that because he wants to be lifted and exalted. I'm telling you, there are times when somebody says something to me and the Spirit of God will raise up all over me. And some of you may be one of them I've done it to, but when somebody else say that, I'll say, don't you say that. That is going to happen. God is going to do that because I don't want the power that's within us to get in agreement and settle for what the world has told you or a low expectation you have on yourself, and that's mostly who it's about, or someone else. I'll get in that in a minute. And then the third thing I see here is that he's talking to the word for lost Christians. He's saying Christians can be lost. Raise your hand if you've ever lost your way. Okay? Thank you. because we need to be honest about this. Don't act like you're perfect. And I want to just go one step further and say, don't follow people who act like they are perfect. Because there's none perfect but Him. But the perfect He does in me, that word perfect is actually pronounced perfect, and it means to mature. Okay? So I am going after for Him to perfect me. I don't think I'm perfect. And I just want you to know, I believe it's just as important. I've always thought it for my kids, and I think it for you, to tell you where I made mistakes, because I don't want you falling into my traps. And tonight, I want to deal with a little bit on this about the word for the lost Christians. See, I think I'm old school. I think I'm Mrs. Doss. I think I'm just grateful for this word. Hey, correct me. Hey, you know, show me where I need to stop. Show me where I've gone too far. Hey, I'm Miss Doss. Wasn't that great? You know, God's given us this word, right? And then there's, you know, Sue Capron. And I probably should have changed her name for the innocent, but whatever they say. But anyway, you know, and she's like, you know, that didn't happen. Once I fell, then, you know, my husband put this up. Now I'm corrected and I know where my boundaries are. You know, but he could have done it sooner or whatever. And then I see Lola Allen, just the little spitfire she is. I love Lola. We used to call her Lolo. She came here for Leah's funeral. She's just the sweetest thing. But anyway, when I think of that, I think of someone who knows better, like Lola, but they just get lost, you know? And they just think, this is good enough. And then they go beyond where they were supposed to go, without coming back and recognizing what's changed, like Christians do. And then we make mistakes. And boy, then, who do we want to blame? God or His Word? And like Elijah, what I think has happened is we have lost our passion for God. Stay with me. And we've become passionate for the things that stroke our flesh, for the things that make us comfortable. Please hear me tonight. For the things that we've began to put our faith and our trust in. And then when those things go, then we become disillusioned and we want to blame God. Well, the reason I've moved backwards, if God cared, or why did God allow this? Let me tell you, God is a gentleman, and if you don't choose Him, He'll step out of your way and let you go for what you want. And out of mercy, if somebody's not praying for you, and I've seen this and I believe it for my life and for many people's lives, if somebody isn't passionate about God more than they're passionate about what they want, somebody needs to be praying to keep them from the pitfall that's intended. I love that little quote that says, you know, it's got the man jumping off the cliff, and it says, when you're falling, know these two things about God. He's either going to catch you or He's going to teach you how to fly. Don't blame Him for situations. Look for God to work in that situation to turn it for your good. That's what faith is. That's what Abraham had. He had that confidence in God. No, God didn't allow all that stuff. And you know how I know? Were you following His word, or you were following what felt good? Okay, that's so mean. That's so, you know, please don't be mean to me tonight and hurt my feelings. Hello, bobble line. Hello, I'm grateful for the bobble line. Hello, the bobble line has saved me grief. Hello, the bobble line has saved me some regrets. Okay? He's put what His word in place in your heart, the word says, so that I might not sin against you. And we think, well, you know, I can make these decisions and, you know, you're just being overdramatic. If you're His bride, if He's your love and you're His beloved, if you had a husband in the natural or a wife in the natural and you just thought, well, forget what they want, I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway, do you think there might be a repercussion? Raise your hand if you've had a repercussion. Right? It's like, wah! See me? It's the same way with Him. He needs to come before everything else, not because he's possessive, not because he's obsessive, and not because he's a stalker, but because he knows the boundaries of our hearts and our wills and what's going to hurt us or what's going to bring life. So I'm not having an inside power that's working with me if I'm not operating in his word. That power that he's given me will still lay dormant if I'm not operating in his word. I've got to go according to his word to get that to work. Okay? The other day I go home and Steve's mom says, oh, you know, the television isn't working. And she just hates when things go wrong because, you know, she feels bad about it. And she's like, oh, my television's not working. So I go in and I looked at that television. I said, in the name of Jesus. No, I didn't. I thought, what's the first thing you check? The plug. You know it, right? That's right. Check the plug. Okay, that's working. She's got a little picture, but this thing's blinking. So I go reset her little cable box, and it says it's trying to connect, but it won't connect. So I didn't say, I bind you, foul demon of disconnection. I speak the word over you. No, I'm realistic. But I go in and I didn't pick it up and throw it against the wall and say, I'm just sick of this stuff. It doesn't work like it's supposed to. I did what I didn't want to do, and I called the 800 number, and I got online, and I said, here's what I've done, and it's still just doing this. But I learned something new. She said, okay, I want you to do it again with me on the line. I'm just thinking, you think I'm stupid, don't you? But I was like, okay. Did it all, you know. So then I go and I found out that there's this little wireless router box. And even if the light is doing the right thing, you have to unplug it for 2 minutes and plug it back in. And then it resets. And you have to wait 2 more minutes before it reconnects. So it hadn't reconnected in the 2 minutes. And I said, well, it's still doing that thing. And she said, well, I'm just going to send a serviceman. We're going to replace that box. I was like, okay. And then Bernice goes, it's on, it's on, it's on. And I said, oh, it's on, it's working now. And she said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put this in. And if you have to call this number again, we're just going to have somebody come right out and put another box in and we won't go through this. Was it fun for me to do that? No. Did I learn something? Yes. And the next time I go through it, I'm not going to have to do all that rigmarole. I'm just going to say, sister, put the box in the mail. You see what I'm saying? Give me a man out here to put this in, okay? And I'm not going to have to deal with it because I'm doing things in order the way that the provision has been put into place. Well, you know, I just don't understand why you're saying all this stuff to me. God won't cooperate with my rebellion because he won't be a part of darkness. I can shout his word, I can speak the word, but if I'm not living in agreement with the word, my passion has to be for him first. So here's the thing. In us, the people to me that are the ones who are like, well, if they hadn't put that thing up, I'll just show them, I'll go through that thing. You know, it's not, he doesn't want me to quit. God doesn't want me to pout. He doesn't want me to look down. God wants me to look up. And rebellion and injustice bred in your heart against God will cause you to want to quit, will cause you to want to pout, will cause you to want to look down. You've got to be looking at him and passionate about him because anything else takes first priority in your passion, you'll start blaming him instead of trusting him. And that's when the enemy gets you in the corner and beats you up and you get on this downward spiral that he's not real. Nobody in this room is going to tell me that God is not real. Nobody in this room is going to tell me that the power of Jesus does not work because I got your testimonies of how it does work. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I trust God through the harsh things. Because I know that when his word says he's working it for my good, I can guarantee you, I didn't see it at the time, but I got 20/20 vision looking back. And I can trust him with the things that I can handle and I can't. And let me just tell you, Miss Smarty Pants thinks she can handle a lot of things that I can't. two reasons why I've never run the lottery. I probably couldn't handle it, and I don't buy the tickets. So there you go. So, oh, go ahead, you know. Here's the thing. How many weeks ago did we talk about this? I think it was about 3 weeks ago, and we said, I ask you if you had ever, when you were 16 years old, thought you knew everything. Yeah, we've already established this 3 weeks ago. I just want to go back over it so we're all on the same page. Then I said, when you were 30 years old, did you make mistakes but still thought you knew more? And we all said yes. Now, some of you can't go all the way down the road. I can go, but let me just say, I was there at 50, and I'm at 60 right now. And there's still times when I just do things on automatic pilot because I know the Lord. Me, him, we tight. Me and JC, we got a thing, you know. Oh, come on. It's in me. And I just go in automatic pilot, and I mess up because I didn't ask him. Not because he's a control freak, but he sits at the control and sees how everything's going to pan out. So, man, you know, I'm like, wow. So we talked about that. We all agreed there's never a time when we're going to know everything, but there's a place where we think we know everything. I'm going on it because of this. I'm going to tell you tonight that when this scripture says there are Christians who are lost, there are Christians who are lost. And here's how we get lost. We say, well, I'm just going to give up on those people because they just make the same mistakes over and over. Or, you know, we don't need to be concerned about that because they're this age and they should know better. If we all just admitted we don't know better at whatever age we're at, why would I give up on somebody just because they're an age? And I want to tell you, to this day, and they may roll their eyes, and I'll say, did you just roll your eyes at me? Even in emojis now, they're like, I was like, was that an eye roll at me, Charity? Yes, Mom. I was like, sister, I know where you live. Do not do that to me. I mean it. My kids still eye roll me, but it doesn't matter to me. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how mature they are. I don't care how many years they've been married. Okay, Jake and Tiff are coming up on 10. I still, today, will tell them the truth because I don't want them to make a mistake. When they were little, I would say to my kids, because I knew that they couldn't handle certain things, like peer pressure and stuff, we had code words that we would use to get them out of trouble. Like if they really didn't want to go to be with somebody, but they felt they had to go, when they got on the phone, they would say, oh, mother, mother dear, please. Well, that was my cue to say no. And then they could beg me and make me look bad, and I didn't care. Oh, my mother, she won't let me go. But they knew they could get in trouble. So we had the code word. Then there were times when I would tell them, if you get in a situation and I'm not there and you can't call me and we use the code word, here's what you're going to do. Make me look like I'm just the meanest witch in town. You say, listen, I absolutely cannot do that. You just don't know my mother. She'll find out and, boy, I'll get in trouble and I just can't do it. My mom, she's, whoo, that woman is crazy. Just make me look crazy so you can get out of it. Some of you are taking mental notes. I'm like, I can see you going, yeah, I'm going to do that. But it worked because I didn't care how I looked. I just wanted them to get over so they could get over whatever to follow Jesus, right? Until now, I still do those things because it doesn't matter if Jake just hit 30. It doesn't matter to me that he's been married 10 years. I still want him in church. I still want him hearing the Word of God. I still want to know that he's reading his Bible. And I still want to know that he's praying. And I'm going to go all out and just mouth it all out tonight. Because I feel like, bring the lost Christian home. Bring the lost Christian home tonight. Are you listening to me? People who've compromised and their passions have switched. Well, you said it, we're righteous if we believe. I did say we're righteous if we believe. But I did say your passion can change and God's not going to ride in the car with rebellion. Okay? Well, you know, man, I've got this golden ticket to heaven and that's really all that matters. Then you don't love him, you just want to use him. Then you don't trust him, you trust you. You just want the easy pass. Oh, keep on going, Gay. I'm going to. Thank you for that encouragement. Then we get mad. Some Christians, you know, they get mad because they didn't get what they wanted, or they're not grateful because he provided what they needed. See, that's a choice. I can either be mad that I didn't get what I wanted, or I can be grateful that I can trust him that he gave me what I needed, and he's going to give it to me at the right time, and he's going to bring the right things in line, that everything's going to work, and I'm not going to lose it. I won't lose the good thing he brings to me, because I know he brought it. Because I know I was more passionate about him than anything else. Does a marriage work if you're more passionate about someone else than your spouse? Then why would we think that the King of Kings, who knows my heart, is going to put up? Okay, there's grace and there's mercy. There's grace and there's mercy. I'm glad you said that. I'd like to go over a couple of lies that we believe. Believers trusting in lies. It's like a poison that just weakens you and weakens you, and it's slow. Once you believe the lie, who's against his character and his nature, you will weaken and you will begin to condone things that you never would have put up with. And then when you get in the mess, you're either going to be mad at him because you got in a mess, or you're going to be grateful that he's letting you see where you are before you go into destruction. Because yes, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. But he's saying, call the lost Christians back. Well, this can't apply to any of you. You're here. So, you know, wipe the sweat off your brow. Let's just finish this message. Here it is. Number one, well, I deserve this. Anytime it starts out there, I'm pretty sure you're running away from truth. Because what do I deserve? Anybody in here want to tell me what I deserve? I deserve death. I deserve death because I didn't go die on a cross for anybody's sins. I deserve not to be forgiven, but that is what mercy and grace does. Mercy withholds what I deserve. Are you with me? And grace gives me what I don't. So when I say, well, I deserve just a little more, I deserve a little more time, you know, just give me a little more time before I get on, you know, track with this Jesus thing. Just give me a little more time. Well, I just deserve this relationship. Y'all don't understand. It's just been hard for me. Why can't I just have those feelings? Honey, you can have those feelings. But if you change your passion from someone else other than Jesus, you will start trusting that person more than Jesus. You will weaken your faith in Jesus. And it can be a business partner who's handing you $10,000 and saying, look, let's start working on Sunday. You deserve a good home, right? Why do you need that? That church stuff makes you weak. Do you see how that's the world making you weak against what keeps you strong? Well, you know, I just deserve this money. Here's what I want you to know. You're either Lord over your life or he is. You either know better and trust yourself more than God, or you're going to be passionate about him. That is just mean. You are so mean. I am Mrs. Doss. I am so grateful for the Bible that I don't go too far or get it from behind. Are you with me tonight? Because that's how I see James teaching this message. I can be mad about it, or I can be grateful for it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When you're dealing with other people, we need to tell the truth, but don't tell it with judgment. Don't tell it with criticism. And don't tell it like you have all the answers. You tell it the way he says it, but don't speak a word till the Holy Spirit gives you the green light. You know what a green light is. Don't make me say it. It's not what you want to say. And you're like, oh, should I say it? And everything gets quiet. And then it's just you in the room and with them. And you're going, oh, don't make me. Yeah, that's the green light. He'll give you the opportunity. And it's not because we're mean. It's because we love people. And I want the lost to wake up. I'm telling you, there's some beautiful things that God is doing in the lives of his people There's some beautiful seed that's being planted, and we've been watering it with prayers, and we've been watering it with our praise. Like he said, if you're happy, sing the praise. Oh, if you're fearful, begin to call out on me. If you're sick, go to someone else. If you're sin sick, just confess that and come to me and be a part of the whole, and let's get whole together. The second thing I see is I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. I want you to know that is true. You don't need to go to church to go to heaven. I just told you it's not about works. But I see in Hebrews 10:25 that we just studied where he says that it's his will that you not forsake the assembling together, that you put that first. Do you know why that is? Let's just say you like somebody. You dating them. It's special. Then all of a sudden, you don't see them for about 3 weeks. And it's just not so special anymore. And then you go 6 weeks. And you're like, what did I need them for anyway? Is this ringing true to anybody in here? And he calls us to be the body. How can I be a body if I'm disjointed? Well, you know, Gay, I just don't need that. Well, I just want you to know I'm the weirdest person you've ever met because I do need it. I do need it. If I don't hear one word that's said, and I take notes, and generally I get something out of it, okay? But if I don't take one note, I can tell you there's somebody in this room, and probably it's been more than one or two of you. Bryce, what you said Sunday was just, what a blessing. Just ministered to my heart. And then when you prayed, it's not to puff you up. It's to puff up the God in you that you were unashamed to do that. That you took the initiative and said that I remember you being that little baby with that crazy hair and, you know, and walking around here and now to see a man. Do you know what I'm saying? It was a blessing to my heart. So many of those things that have nothing to do with money or affluence or what did you do for me, God? But he's going to provide a handful on purpose for me when I come in his presence. And maybe it's the fact that coming to church keeps us in line with the bauble just so that we don't go too far. Just so that we don't leave our rear end exposed. Just saying. But I'm Miss Doss. I'm different. I'm grateful for the Bible. Third thing I see is people say, you know, well, I just need to take a break and explore other things. You know, if he's real, he'll wait on me to come back to him, so I'm going to take a break. I just think I need to explore these other things. Okay? If you married, you in a one relationship, and you go into your spouse, you say, you know, I know we love each other. Listen, I just need a break. I just want to explore some other relationships. Do you think that's going to fly? Why would it not fly? Why? Because you're breaking a commitment, because you're being unfaithful, because you're involving yourself in other things, and intimacy is a thing that transfers a part of you to someone and a part of something into you. You following me? She didn't get it, did you, baby girl? But those who need to get it, they got it. And that's what happens with the world. And that's what happens with other religions. And every bit of it is to get you to distrust God and trust man more. And the whole time he's wanting you to trust him more to lead other people out of deceit, and we're being deceived. The fourth thing, you know, that I see that's a big old lie. Well, God's mercy and grace are why I don't have to change. His word says that you are a new creation. I'm thinking that means change. His word says that he renews your mind. I'm thinking if what I believe is what makes me righteous, I need to be believing this way. It needs to change my mind. And then when he says, behold, all things are passed away and all things are new. So I just want to say to you, if the gospel is not here to change me, what's the point in it? Is it my ticket to heaven and then I'm good to go? Let me do whatever I want? If you're going to run a marathon, my niece put her name in the drawing for the New York Marathon, and she got a place. They called her in Arkansas and said, you're going to get to run the New York Marathon. So she didn't say, whoo, I get to run in that marathon. Hey, let's go all out, you know, tonight. Let's have pizza on me. I'm getting to run in the marathon. She didn't say, man, I can take it easy now. I got my marathon ticket. She said, I need to train and I need to eat right because I got the privilege to run this race, and I'm going to run it to the best that are better than me. I'm not running it to win it because I know there's other people that are better than me, and I don't care if I come in last, but I'm going to finish that race. And that's all God is asking from you and me. Just finish your race. Are you following me on this tonight? Is it quiet because you don't like me anymore? If you believed in Jesus and that he's the way, why do I need to check out anything else? And why do I need to get in a disagreement with him? And I'm going to tell you what I think's happening. I think it's a whole lot easier to say, I don't have to, because the world will give you the excuse that you don't have to. Anybody you work with is going to tell you what you deserve. Christian people tell me, well, you deserve this. And in my mind, I know it's coming from a good place, but that can puff you up. Well, you deserve better than that, girl. Don't be putting up with that. Listen, and I mean this from the depth of my soul. I've seen more marriages where people shouldn't have put up with stuff, but they believed God to turn it around, and it made the most loyal, most unified, most God-fearing, powerful thing, because they took the dormant power and they made it active. And they got out of what they deserved into what God wanted to bless them with. But some things need to be nurtured. Some things I need to make an investment in. Some things don't come at once. But boy, we've been taught, you just wait, psh, that's too long. I'm sick of the time limits. And James is saying to them, people are putting time limits on God. And you're saying, if this doesn't happen in this amount of time, psh, I'm done with that. Boy, would you want somebody to love you like that? I'm just asking, seriously. If I wouldn't want it, and I'm earthly, and I got a lot of flesh, why do you think anybody else in here would want that? Wouldn't I want to give it the way I want to receive it? So I'm going to tell you the truth. Parents, keep bringing your children to church. Because they don't know what they're doing. I heard somebody say the statistics are that after 29, only 16% of the people will change their mind. So let's just really concentrate on the younger generation. I'm not giving up on any generation. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're smart and you've made your decision. You can change your mind because the Spirit of God can change your mind. Circumstances can change your mind. The thing that you love more than God, that you worship, can be the thing that you're enslaved to and hate in 6 weeks. But you're never going to do that with him. He's never going to lead you down that road. James is telling us in this scripture to save us the heartache, not because God is mean and possessive, but we're not smart enough to see where my future's going, and he is. And he knows me. He knows how I want things. God knows that it's more important to me to be loved and to have your love than to be famous. That is more important to me. It means everything to me to love and be loved. I am not complete until I give. There's nothing else that fulfills me like giving. And the thing that I love the most is when I give and nobody knows it. I just get the biggest kick out of that. Because he knows it. And it's like a little secret between me and him. That was so awesome, God. Thank you for providing this so that I can provide that. thanks that I just get to be a part, that I can have this dormant energy, dormant, and I get in agreement with you and it becomes powerful and it becomes effective because we're all righteous because I believe in you more than I believe in me. And I believe that when I tell you the truth, that I take a risk that you'll judge me and hate me and come up against me, but I believe this word more than I believe. What's going to affect me is I believe that we have to bring the lost Christians home. It's not too late. There's nobody up in that youth room. There's not one kid that can't be changed tonight with one word. There's not any little kid that's too small to understand the power of love in that room back there. Not one. There's not a baby in that room. Can I get an amen from some parents who've sang children into peace? That doesn't understand the peace of God. That's why we tell new mothers, you're too upset, you're too freaked out, you need to let me take the baby, you go get some rest. And because they feed off of those energies. Guys, nobody in here is not without the need tonight to hear the positive word of God to set you free, not just from something in your past, but from something that's going to happen tomorrow. Because every day there's the opportunity to believe God or the opportunity to believe you. Man, and especially Galatians 6:10 says, and especially to those in the household of faith. That's you and me. We're especially supposed to be doing this for the people in the household of faith. Especially. Not, well, they go to church, you know, they don't need any encouragement. Like, what planet are you from? Right? We all need encouragement. You're not going to get encouragement. Well, I just deserve to go out tonight. You know what? Everybody else gets to do it and feed that. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get me some tonight. I'm going to give me some fun time. I'm going out. I'm going to show it where it's happening. Anybody in here like to raise your hand and say, I've learned from those things and I got in some traps and my heart got crushed? Anybody in here want to raise your hand to that? Please raise it high, because some people aren't raising their hands. Thank you. Thank you. Because that moment, when you step outside of passion for Jesus and you start having passion for something else, I'm calling the lost home. I'm calling the lost home. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But he is never going to approve the thing that is meant to crush you, and that's the enemy. So I just said this. If you say it's too late, or they've made up their minds, or, you know, this is a reason to quit, you know, trusting God, or a reason to quit praying, or a reason to quit, you know, inviting them to church, or whatever it is, especially for the saved, if you're saying that, at best, you're saying Jesus is limited, and you've decided when somebody can and can't make a change of heart. At best, that's your best scenario. And the worst scenario is you're saying God's a liar. Because if you're saying, oh, you know, it's too late, that 80-year-old, it's too late for them, then you're saying God's a liar and all things aren't possible. Did I miss something here? Would somebody like to stand up and correct me? Because I sure don't want to speak this ever again. But I want to give you the truth, because that's what James has given you. And I want you to see it. It's like cake class. I'm still learning things. It's like the bauble. I see that as a blessing. I hope tonight you're hearing what I'm saying as a blessing. Because when your passions get involved in the world, that's when your heart gets ripped up. And he is not the ripper of the heart. He's the healer of the heart. And James is just saying, you know what? I just want to save you a little grief. Through faith, we experience the love of God, but through our actions, others experience his love. I have faith. Do I argue with God? Please. I'm like a lawyer in the courtroom. God, now listen. I know that sounds really stupid, but I do that. Now, Lord, I just want to reason this out with you because, you know, and I think, you know, in my mind, I've lied to myself and said, you know, God, you love me. You'll let me reason this out. But in my heart, I'm hoping I'm going to change his mind. Yeah. Anybody else weird like that?
Yeah.
But the good news is he loves me through that. And it's just like now he lets me get it out, and then I can hear what I'm saying, and I realize I'm not wanting him. I'm wanting me, and I'm wanting him to do it my way because I don't trust him that he's going to protect me. Too honest? And I've got to start trusting him because it was Abraham that was accounted to him as righteousness when he believed God. I believe Jesus. I believe that he's looking out for the best for me. There are some of you in here, I am praying for you because I see traps coming for you. I see favor on you. Don't you understand that the enemy can see an alignment from heaven that you and I can't see because he's spiritual? He's a spirit being. If there are 100 angels aligning over you and around you to move you into a place of favor and into a place where you're going to prosper, who do you think the enemy wants to go after? Who do you think he's going to make it easy for this to happen? Oh, this won't matter. Just this little old thing. Nobody's even going to know about that anyway. And then that's the thing. Let me just bring it on home to you, all you cowboy fans. Come, old fella, we still praying, Jesus. So, don't go there. Yeah, ask Ezekiel Elliott today if he wouldn't like to do a few things different. Ask him if he wouldn't like to not have been some places he was just because he was there. Are you with me? Ask some people who have lost spouses if they wish they'd have done something a little different. Ask people who have lost love between a parent and a child because they just thought they knew better than everybody else. This word is not here to set you straight. This word is here to set you free. And when God sets you free, it's not going to catch up with you later and trap you. It's going to keep you free. And that keeps me bound to saying, thank you, God, I didn't listen to my own stupid way. Thank you, God. He's good. He's good. You can trust him. So I'm just going to ask you right now, would you just bow your head with me? And I just want to ask you this question. Have you given up on someone? Have you just said, hey, automatic pilot, we're going to heaven. Let's just, that's good enough. Can you say today, it's only for you. This isn't a question for me. I'm not judging you. I'm asking you a simple question that I ask myself. Am I closer to God today or further away from him? And I want to tell you something. The answer to both those things can only be your choice. I can't get any closer to God because he wants it. And I can't get further from God because he wants it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's my pursuer. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Am I closer to him today or am I further away? And I'm not telling you that to make you feel bad. I'm telling you that because the bobble line may need to be moved. Maybe you've changed the way that you're doing. Maybe your job's changed. Maybe your friends have changed. Realign yourself with God's word so that you don't crash and burn. Because the enemy's going to give you every opportunity to blame God for it when it was God and his word trying to keep you from it. If there's any guilt, shame, or condemnation tonight, it's not from God. And I don't want you to receive it. It's Romans 8:1 that says he didn't come in. He's not here. He doesn't judge and condemn. John 3:17, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be free. Yes, saved, set free. And he doesn't work with condemnation. I don't need to do a countdown about when the rapture's coming to scare you into Jesus. I need to show you the truth about the devil so that you'll run from him and not run with him. He's going to make it easy, and it's going to feel good. But at the end of it, is disappointment. And at the end of it, I'm happy to say, He will still be loving me. He will still be looking for the reason to take you in and not the reason to reject you. And you won't get a deal like that anywhere else. Am I saying tonight to you, oh, you know, hey, go ahead. You can't help it. God's merciful. God's gracious. It doesn't matter. Y'all just keep going the way you're going. You know, it's okay. Instead, what I need to be telling you is God wants to bring you back to wholeness and productivity. We should not assure people in sin, but we should assure and affirm people in Christ. Romans 8:1. But if you aren't in Christ, He says, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. If you're not in Christ, there is condemnation. If condemnation is coming to you tonight, it's not Christ. So I'm asking right now, just in this quietness of the moment, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you right now, whether silently or loud, just to begin to say, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me and show me where I get off the path. God, help me when I listen to things just because I fall in love with them and I let the things that I see lure me away from your love. God, forgive me tonight. Lord, bring me close. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Love me enough to show me the truth and be merciful to me enough that when I'm angry or when I resist it, help me, God. Help me, God, to see through me to get to you. And God, help me to see who's looking out for me for the future. God, help me to see that I want what you want for me. Help me, God, to avert the pitfall. But give me the grace and mercy, God, that if I fall in it, I can admit it and bring somebody else out with me. God, help me tonight to lead people to truth and not to let people stay sick in their souls. Father, I just thank you tonight. Just begin to thank Him. A grateful heart will always be close to God. Lord, I just thank you right now. I don't understand it. I don't know how you protected me. I'm just in a dull spot right now. I'm not feeling anything, God. I'm just trusting you. Count it as righteousness, Lord, that this prayer tonight will not just be powerful, but it'll be effective. I don't want to just have your power. I want it to be effective. I want to be making a difference in my life and in my kids' life and my grandkids' life, God, in the lives of everyone in this church. I don't want to be a liar and be deceived myself, God. Show us and lead us to truth tonight, God. Help us to lead the Christian lost back home. Help us, God, not to just wait for heaven, but to live and have a life and life more abundantly, which is what you promised. Lord, I ask tonight that there would be no guilt, shame, or condemnation from this message, but there would be revelation and that the eyes would be open and that the courage would come forth to say no. And the courage would come forth and the power within us to say, I believe Jesus Christ. I know His plan for me is good. And I will not doubt Him. I will not. I pray courage over you tonight. I pray strength over you tonight. And I pray over you tonight, any place where you've said it's too late, that you'll go back and reevaluate that and say, God, you tell me. And God, if I'm on automatic pilot, God, get me out of that. I don't want to be just doing it out of the motions or emotions. I want to do it, God, because I hear you and you love me. Speak to us tonight, God, and set us free. Thank you for the word in James who spoke the truth and wanted to save us from regret and grief. God, set us free from that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I am just trusting the Lord that you will grow closer and more confident in Him. And that you're going to see places that are traps for you. Because I want to tell you something. You're smart. I want to look at everybody in this room. I'm looking. You are smart. You are smart. And you know the truth. walk in truth, and you won't have to walk in regret. Amen? All right. Do you still love me? Okay. I'm just believing the Lord. Through faith, we experience the love of God, but through action, we give the love of God to others.
Amen.
Act on His love. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, now I want to tell you, this is really important. September 20th is going to be Pumpkin Spice Night at Christian Center. September 20th, mark your calendars. It's a Wednesday night. We're going to have pumpkin spice Krispy Kremes that night. We're going to have pumpkin spice coffee. We're going to have pumpkin spice candy. And I'm going to have a pumpkin spice surprise for each group. The youth are doing it. The kids are doing it. The nursery's having a drawing. The preteens are having a drawing. And we're going to have a drawing for a special pumpkin prize on September 20th. Because September 22 is fall, and it's my favorite season. So September 20th is our Fall in Love with Jesus party night at Christian Center. Amen. Amen. So if you come, you'll get to enter in that. You're going to like it. Girl, don't you be putting down my pumpkin. I'm just saying. All right. If I know.